You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Well, I've got some good news for you today. Who likes good news? The good news is that because of Jesus, the scattered are assembled, the separated are restored, the spiritual orphan is adopted as an heir, and the Spirit brings power and unity. Amen. Who's okay with that? I feel like we should put our hands together and praise God for that. Amen. See, because if you know Jesus, this is your testimony. This is your testimony. Now, today we're celebrating that we are one people under God, but we're celebrating that God has assembled us from all countries across the globe. Holland, Denmark, Mauritius, the West Indies, New Zealand, India, Germany, Malaysia, China, Singapore, Italy, Lebanon, Greece, England, Scotland, Ireland, Uganda, Kenya, South Africa, the Philippines, the First Nations of Australia, Nigeria, Ukraine. Any others that I've missed this morning? Congo, come on. Where else? Sri Lanka, come on. Anywhere else? France, come on. Anywhere else? See, we didn't know this, did we? How good is this? God has assembled the body of Christ together from all nations across the globe. See, there was a time when God's people were not united in Jesus. We're going to have a look at that today. But it's because of Jesus that we get to rejoice that God sent his Son. He loved the people of the world so much that he sent his Son. He loved us so much that Jesus took on the sin of the world. Amen. Went to the cross, the one thing that separates humanity from God, our sin. Jesus took it at the cross, but not anymore does it separate us, amen. See, each person has the opportunity to come and know God for themselves, to know God and be known, to repent, turn from their sin, and call on the name of the Lord Jesus. Aren't you so glad you took that opportunity? You may be having you taken that opportunity. I want to encourage you. There's going to be an opportunity for you to do that today. See, there was a time in history when all humanity was of a common language and common knowledge. Did anyone know that? Yeah, for those of you who have read it in the Bible. See, then there came this time when all humanity was scattered across the globe. No common language, but especially no unity under God. How do we get to that place? Well, Genesis 11, 1 through 9. We're going to have a look at the scriptures today to understand what exactly we are celebrating today. Genesis 11, 1 to 9 says this. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found the plain of Shinar and settled there. And they said to each other, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. Has anyone ever made that decision to bake some bricks thoroughly? Scones? Tim Scones would bake bricks. They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we'll be scattered over the face of the whole earth. Little did they know. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. And the Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they'll not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there over the whole earth and they stopped building the city. This is why it is called Babel or Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. What an amazing passage of scripture. See, what do we understand from this scripture? That when people are unified in purpose, almost anything is achievable. But if our hearts aren't submitted and surrendered to God, it's for our own glory, amen. What else do we gather from this scripture? Often people will misuse unity. People whose hearts aren't submitted to the Lord will misuse unity. See, because of this. People were scattered across the entire earth. People of different languages took up residence and slowly spread out across the populated earth. Different tribes, different tongues. You and I, our families, our ancestors took up residence, spreading south and east and west across the globe. New nations, new people groups. Aren't you grateful, however, that the story is not over from that passage of scripture? Aren't you grateful? God always has a plan. And it all looked over and done with when it was Noah in the ark. Lots of animals and a couple of people. So his plan, God's plan, was to redeem the world. It took some time for the plan to outwork, though. See, eventually we get to Abraham in Genesis 17, and there's some promises that were given to Abraham. I promise, this is God speaking to Abraham, I promise that you'll be a father of many nations. I will give you a lot of descendants. They'll become great nations. Some of them will even be kings. It took some time for the plan to outwork. Genesis 17:9 says this, Abraham, you and your future members of your family must promise to obey me. This may be why the plan took some time to outwork. Amen. So they may have had some lessons to learn along the way. Maybe they needed to be reminded at different times in history that they needed to turn their faces and their hearts back to God. See, the same can be said for us. Amen. There's moments where we need to be reminded. We need to turn our face and our hearts back to the loving God. And if you find yourself in the pursuit of your own plans, your own desires, the desires of your heart, I want to encourage you today, turn your heart, turn your face back to God. Enter into the obedience that comes with the promise through Abraham, amen. See, the lessons that you learn can be gentle, they can be a benefit of your obedience, or there can be wild fallout along the way. I want to encourage you, turn your face, turn your heart back to a loving God. You know, for those of us who know God, we have received salvation through Jesus, amen? Put your hand up if that's you today. Amazing. See, we know that God has not just given us promises, but he has given us the promise. See, we see some great promises through Abraham, but God has given us the promise, the King of Kings, not just some of them to be kings, but he's given us the King of Kings, Jesus. It says in Isaiah 7:14, and we talk about promises and prophecy in the scriptures. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And we see the fulfillment of this prophecy, this promise in Luke 1:35, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Don't you love that this passage of scripture in Isaiah, hundreds of years before it happened, hundreds of years before the promise is fulfilled. I want to encourage you today that we need to have a heart of rejoicing today. Rejoice with me today from Adam to Eve, to Noah, to the Babylonians being scattered, to Abraham's promise, to David and the prophecies fulfilled. God lands us in this New Testament with this new covenant and makes a way through Jesus, allowing a way for all people to be known by God. He shows us his love. How can I be sure that God shows us his love? John 3:16. If you don't know this yet, let's hear it one more time. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God showed us. He shows us his love. See, because of God's gift, because of God's sacrifice of Jesus, we're no longer scattered, but we're known, we're adopted, we're made sons and daughters of God the Most High. Have you heard that before? We're no longer scattered, we're no longer unknown. We're sons and daughters, heirs of God. Amen. This is what it says in Galatians 3:26. You may have heard this over the past couple of weeks. It says, you are all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. This is why we're heirs of God. We're not scattered. We're known as sons and daughters. We're heirs of God. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male and female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. The promises that I mentioned just before, you're now the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. Amen. Rejoice this morning. Rejoice. The promises are yes and amen out of the word. Rejoice this morning. Let it grow in your heart. Let rejoicing grow in your heart this morning around this. See, what I love about God's promise is that even in a moment of Christ redeeming us, we were of different tribes. We weren't one people. We were of different tribes, different tongues. But his loving work on the cross brought us all back together under God. Through the grave, through the resurrection, through the cross. It took us to this point of no return. Anyone familiar with that term? Point of no return? See, it's impossible to reverse a point of no return. The scales have tipped. Everything's changed. There's no going back. It's a turning point. It was God leading us to this place where this is irreversible. It is irreversible. One sacrifice for all time. Common unity through Christ. But he doesn't stop there. No, he does not stop there. This is Jesus this morning. This is Jesus prophesying a promise. It says this, that he's going to send another. He's going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to send power. He's going to send a comforter to guide us in John 14 and John 16. And this is fulfilled. Amen. This is fulfilled. In Acts 2, who loves the book of Acts? Who's read the book of Acts? Who's never read the book of Acts? Well, we're going to read it today. Did Trent put up his hand? Whew. Have some counseling at the back afterwards, Trent. Acts 2 says this. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. 120 people had locked themselves away in a room and they were waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit that Jesus said he was going to send. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking our own native languages. Here we are, Perithians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and the province of Asia." Does anyone else want to read them? It's getting harder and harder, isn't it? Egypt, I got that one. "And areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, and we hear all these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done." They stood there amazed and perplexed. "What can this mean?" they asked each other. What can this mean? They asked each other. See, in one moment, 120 faithful believers stood in the gap to see the good news of Jesus known to the Jewish people. Are you ready for this? Known to the Jewish people of Iran. the doorstep to Asia. Iraq, Kuwait, Syria, Israel, Palestine, Turkey, the doorstep to Europe. Libya and Egypt, the gateway to Africa. Rome, modern-day Italy, Crete, Greece, and the surrounds. So we see all those names and we're like, what are those names? That's what it means. One day, 120 believers stood in the gap and people were amazed. What can this mean? See, one of the reasons that the gospel went forth around the globe was the day of Pentecost. At that moment in time, everyone was gathered for the feast of Pentecost. And on that day, they saw and heard the wondrous things of God. So it would be fair to say, and you may not have pondered this before. Are you ready for this? It would be fair to say that people from your country of origin may have been present to witness the day of Pentecost. In fact, what if your salvation directly corresponds to one of your countrymen or women seeing and hearing one of the 120 speaking in your mother tongue on the day of Pentecost, and then they heard Peter preach the gospel for the first time and 3,000 got saved in a moment? What if your salvation, your family's origin of salvation, connects back to that moment? It does connect back to that moment, amen. This is how the gospel went forward and spread across the world. See, they took it back with them. They shared it with their people. And your people became his people. My people became his people. We became sons and daughters of God. Are you getting it this morning? This is like wondrous. This is powerful. Don't underestimate the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It sent the gospel out across the seas and across the globe, and it reverberated to your country of origin. See, nations will turn their heart to him again. Your people will become his people. Amen. See, because of Jesus, we're assembled, we're saved, we're restored, we're made heirs and filled with the power and the unity of the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you today. What we have is powerful. The Spirit can that we carry defeated death, raised humanity back to life. What we carry is worth celebrating and protecting and sharing, amen. Ephesians 4 says this, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you've been called to this, to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. See, it's no small thing. In fact, I would say it's tremendous. It's no small thing. It's tremendous. In fact, I would say it's enormous. It is significant. We are one with God, united in the Spirit. And I want to call on you today. Respond to the scriptures today. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit. Bind yourself together with peace with other believers. I want to encourage you, if you're like someone who's maybe like loves sarcasm, loves like niggling at people. I don't know about you, but I'm not sure whether that keeps peace with the believers. You can be funny. I love funny. Funny's good. But amen, let's bind ourselves together in the Spirit. Let's question the things that we do and say. If it undermines the body being united together, one God, one Spirit. I say this today, we are not a club. We're not a social group. We are the body of Christ and we have a mission. The salvation of our people and their people's people to love God and love our neighbors. Let's make every effort to commit to the kingdom of God. I put this to us today. Let's make every effort to commit to the kingdom of God. Put yourself in a place and bind your heart to the people in the kingdom of God. Ephesians 4:4-7 says this. You are called to travel on the same road, in the same direction. So stay together, both outwardly and inwardly. You have one master, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father all who rules over all, works through us all, and is present in all. Everything you are and think and do is permeated with oneness. Oneness. Verse 7. But that doesn't mean you should all look, speak, and act the same. One people under God, but from multiple countries of origin, different languages, different tribes, different tongues. We celebrate that in the oneness that God has called us to through Christ Jesus. We celebrate that. So we're called together as the Church of Jesus in our thoughts, in our actions. But we celebrate that we don't all look the same, speak the same, act the same. We celebrate that what we're seeing is the fulfillment of God unifying sons and daughters across the globe. Amen. This is what we're celebrating today. It's not just about some tasty goat curry after the service. It may be about some tasty goat curry after the service, but it's not what it's all about. One people under God, united in common purpose. What was separated in Babylon is brought back together through the cross. Amen. Spread across the globe from the day of Pentecost. Your people, your representatives present on the day of Pentecost that spread out across the globe. You know, maybe you haven't heard any of this before. Maybe you haven't heard about the goodness of God, the love of Jesus. I want to give you the opportunity today to respond to Jesus, to respond to the hope, to accept Christ as Lord and Savior, to enter into the salvation and relationship with God that He's called us all to. What was broken in Genesis was made whole through Christ. And I want to give you the opportunity to pray a prayer of salvation. It's about calling on the name of the Lord, about confessing with your mouth and believing your heart that God raised Jesus on the third day for the forgiveness of your sins. And if that's you today, we're going to pray a prayer in a moment. The whole church is going to pray with us. Let this be your day of salvation. Let this be your day of restoration. Let this be your day of being known by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Church, why don't we close our eyes for a moment? I'm going to pray a prayer. Everybody pray after me. Dear God, I thank you that you sent Jesus. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that you raised Jesus on the third day. I repent of my sin. I turn from my ways and I choose to follow you. From this day on, I'm yours and you are mine. In Jesus' name, amen.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.